We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Moshe Micham Yaakov Bepidchos Soleil Omer Avos Perikei Mishnah Dalad. Continue with the theme of 10. Asaron Yisim Nasu Lavuseinu V'Mitzrayim V'Asar Alayam. There were 10 miracles that were done for our forefathers in Egypt and 10 on the sea. What were the 10 that were done for our forefathers in Mitzrayim? So this is the fact that the Makos were given to the Mitzrayim and we were spared from the suffering of the Makos. So that's considered the miracles that were done for our forefathers in Mitzrayim. What about Al-Hayam? What were the 10 miracles Al-Hayam? So the Bartanur goes through all of them and has a proof text for each of them. He says, take the first one, the fact that the water split, that the Torah says. But more than that, the waters made like a dome over their heads, and it was very clear, like it was like a tunnel. And it was very clear to everyone that this was something that Hashem did. It was a miracle for us to be able to walk through. The ground under the feet of the Jewish people became hard and dry, and the next one is the fact that it was muddy for the Egyptians. So it was dry for the Jews and muddy for the Egyptians. That's 3 and 4. Number 5 is the fact that the ground became hard, not just a solid area where maybe the Amistad would think that maybe it will go back, it'll melt and become water again. But no, they would look like bricks. Number 6 is the fact that the waters were so hard like stones, and that was used to punish the Mitzrim. There were 12, we may remember from the Midrashim, the 12 separate tunnels. So each of the Yud Beis Shvatim, the 12 tribes, could walk through a special tunnel. The walls of those waters were transparent. So this way you could see, everybody would know that everybody else was passing through. So each of the Shvatim were able to look through. Even though it was salt water, nonetheless, there was sweet drinking water that came through the walls that were hardened. So we had something to drink. That was number 9. And number 10, whatever water was not, they did not drink, became back to stone before it fell onto the ground. We won't go through all the proof texts, but some of the psukim that may sound familiar to us. Let's, for example, the language in the Chumash, we say the water was nozlim. What does nozlim teach us? That there must have been drinking water. And then it says, ne'eru mayim nitzvu chamod ne nozlim. What happened to that drinking water? Then it became hardened once again, whatever was not drunk. As we said, those are the last of the miracles. Some other psukim may be familiar to us. From Tehillim 9, Dalin, it says, atof forarta v'azchayam. We say that phrase in the beginning of Slichos. So what forarto is as if you broke them, the sea into pieces. Yes, that's exactly what it means. It was made into bricks. It looked like the floor was made out of bricks. The fact that it says the Mitzrim then were, the waters then hardened and the Mitzrim were crushed against those rocks. That was one of the miracles we mentioned. Yeah, the Pasuk says, Shibarta Roshei Saninim Alamoim. Also, Puxed there in Tehillim, where it says the Roshei Saninim, the heads of the serpents, are a reference to the Mitzrim, their heads were broken, were shattered on the water. How is that possible? It was through that miracle. Or, for example, the fact that it was split into 12 for each of the Shvatim to go through another section, another tunnel, it says, the Pasuk says, Gzarim, the Ligoze Yamsuf Ligzarim. This is in Tehillim Kuflam and Vav, we see on Shabbos morning. It was into separate broken sections. So that's a source that they walked through different sections. And many other psukim that are quoted as well. Then the Mishnah says that Eser Makos, Tiviagros Baruch Hu Alam Mitzrim, which we know, 10 Makos, Bimitzrayim, the Eser Alayam. And there were 10 as well, Alayam. What were the 10 of the 10 Makos that the Mitzrim received Alayam? So here we have a list. One list at least is the following. Number 1 is Ramavayam, the fact that the horse and the rider were thrown into the sea. Yaravayam, that's Paro, and the chariots went into the sea, and the army went into the sea. Tuguviyam Suf, the top officers drowned in the sea. Tahomos Yichasumu, the fact that they were covered with deep waters. Yarduvim Solos is number 5. They were lowered down into the depths. Tirats Oyev, the enemy was smashed. That's number 6. Taros Kamecha, the fact that the Hashems who opposed Hashem, they were shattered. Sounds like seems to be a separate one. That's number 7. Yocholemo Kakash, they were consumed like straw. Kisam Oyam, they were covered with the sea. And Salalu Kaoferes, that is that the fact that they sunk down like lead. So the Rambam doesn't have this list. Rabbeinu Yonah has another list, but this is one of the possibilities based on the psukim that there were 10 makos, not only in Mitzrayim, but 10 al hayam as well. Asaron nisyonos nisu avoseno es hamakom baruch hu bamidbar. And there were 10 tests where we tried Hashem, where we tested Hashem, we complained to Hashem in the Midrash. She'ne'emar v'yanasu osi ze eser pa'amim v'lo shamu b'koli. Hashem said to us that you tried me, you tested me 10 times, and you didn't listen to me. So what are those tests? So here we have the list. Baratuna has them as well. So before Kriyas Yamsuf, we said Hamibili Ein Kevarim in Mitzrayim. There are no graves in Mitzrayim. You took us here. Number two, after that, when we came to Mara, we complained there was nothing to drink. Number three, in Refidim, also we complained there was nothing to drink at the end of Parshas Bishalach. And what about the mon? So people didn't listen to Moshe's instructions and went out to on Shabbos to collect the mon. Number five, some people left the mon overnight. Number six, we complained about food. We wanted meat. We had to remember the first story of the Slav, which was in Parshas. We had Parshas Bishalach. We complained, and then later on in Bamidbar and Bahaloscha, we complained. Who's going to give us meat? Number eight is the Cheta Egel. Number nine is complaining at Tavera, also discussing Parshas Bahaloscha. And number ten, of course, is this week's Parsha. Is Parsha Shalach when we complained and cried after hearing the report of the Meraglim. Some of the Farshim asked that there are plenty of times we complained after this. After Parshas Shlach, how about Parshas Korach? Plenty going on in Parshas Korach, and even in Parshas Chukas and beyond. So the answer is because after the, we're talking about the Asar Nisyonos, that where we tried Hashem in the Midbar, and because of that, now that the generation of Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to die out in the Midbar. That ended with Parshas Shlach. That ended, that was the straw that brought the camels back. Was in Parshas Shlach when we cried after the Meraglim came back with their derogatory report about Eretz Yisrael. So, and then Hashem made the Gzeira that people would die out. So after that, it was plenty of complaining, but the 10 tests that brought us to the destruction of the people, the demise of the people of the Midbar, was culminated with the Meraglim. Perakei Mishnah, Asur Nisim Nasu Labosinu B'Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 miracles that were done for our forefathers on a regular basis in the Beis HaMikdash. So number one is Lohi Pila Isha Meireach Besar HaKodesh. Women had to come to the Beis HaMikdash. They had to bring their own karbanos. They weren't necessarily eating from those karbanos. There's a lot of meat that was being roasted in the Beis HaMikdash, cooked in the Beis HaMikdash. And a woman who's pregnant and she has a desire for meat but couldn't eat from it because it was karbanos meat, so maybe, God forbid, she would miscarry. So we have these questions in Masechet Yoma, the 8th parak, about a woman on Yom Kippur when she's pregnant and she desires food. So we ask her, first we remind her it's Yom Kippur. If not, we may have to give her from the food. Here, we never had an issue of a woman, God forbid, miscarrying because of the aroma that she smelled from the Besar HaKodesh, from the karbanos of the Beis HaMikdash, where of course we were not able to give her from that meat. V'lo Yisriach Besar HaKodesh Me'olam. Number two is that the meat of the karbanos never spoiled. A certain karbanos that can be eaten for 2 days. So it could spoil over time, overnight. So never happened. V'lo Nira Zevuv Beis HaMitzvachayim, in the butchering area in the north of the Azara, where they slaughtered the animals. So a lot of animals, a lot of blood. One would expect there to be flies there. No Zevuvim there. V'lo Eira Keri L'Kohen Yagadol B'Yom HaKippurim. Miraculously, the Kohen Gadol, we know, would become Tameh, and we have his Sagan, second to the Kohen Gadol, would have to take over if he became Pasul, and if he had a seminal discharge the night of Yom Kippur, although the Mishnais and Yuma speak about the fact that we try to keep him awake with exciting learning and other things to keep him awake the whole night, so this issue would not happen. But nonetheless, it never happened that he became a Baal Keri the night of Yom Kippur. And although the Azara was open, was outside. Nonetheless, the rains never extinguished the fire of the Atzei HaMaracha, of the pyre of the wood on the Mizbeach. V'lo haruach es amud ha'elshon. There was the column of smoke that would rise up from the Mizbeach itself, and the wind never pushed it aside. It was always remained straight. V'lo nimtza psul ba'omer v'shtei halechem v'lechem apanim. There was never a psul, a disqualification in the omer, korban omer, the flour offering, and that would be difficult, and then you wouldn't be able to bring it, because the night before is when you cut the omer, and a limited amount. V'shtei halechem, which were brought on Shavuos as well, if it's disqualified, nothing you could do. And the lechem apanim as well, which were brought, which were sat on the Shulchan from Erev, from Shabbos to Shabbos. So never psul in any of these. Omdim, another miracle. Omdim tzufufim v'shtachim l'revachim. With the fact that we were able, that we came to the, Azara came to the Beis HaMikdash, so when we stood up straight, so we were, everyone was squeezing in together. There was enough room to stand, but somehow miraculously, when it came time to bow, when we had to bow, in the Beis HaMikdash, many times we had to bow, v'shtachim l'revachim, there was plenty of room. Although we were so crowded when we stood together, when we prostrated ourselves, there was plenty of space for everybody. Lo hizik nachash va'akav b'Yerushalayim me'olam. Another miracle, that no one was ever bitten, stung, or bitten by a snake, stung by a scorpion in Yerushalayim. Some say that this is not true. The plenty of snakes and scorpions in Yerushalayim. Could be that people were bitten, but they never died. That's what it means. Lo hizik nachash, it never caused harm, where God forbid someone lost their life. The interesting point from the previous miracle of Omdim Tzufufim Shtachim L'Revachim, the fact that we needed enough space to prostrate ourselves, that was not just so that there was space to spread out, but that was the fact that when we bowed in the Beis HaMikdash, we often were saying Vidui, and we didn't want anyone to hear our Vidui. We needed enough space so we could say the Vidui that we were whispering, the Vidui that we, the confession, and no one would hear, so we wouldn't have to be embarrassed. And then finally, v'lo amar adam lachavero tzarli hamakom sha'alim v'yushalayim. Number 10 miracle is, it sounds like this is not the Beis HaMikdash itself, even the Nachash v'akav Yerushalayim, so maybe the Mishnah is not referring to the Mikdash, it's referring to all of Yerushalayim as a whole, the Old City. Some say, according to the Rambam, when we say Mikdash, we're actually referring to Yerushalayim, the Old City of Yerushalayim. So either way, it says here, no one ever said, Sali HaMakom, the area is too narrow, literally, it's too tight for me to sleep in Yerushalayim. What does that mean? So the Bar Tanura gives two possibilities. Knowing if this has nothing to do with coming up on Shalosh Dragon. This simply means, person says, I want to live in Yerushalayim, but it's very crowded in Yerushalayim. No one ever had to say that, you know, I can't, it's too crowded in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was a place where people found Parnassa, Berevach, V'lo Hutrach, Echad Mehem Latzeis Misham, V'lo Mar, Parnasasi Dechuka Ve'en Yachol Lodur B'Yerushalayim. The first statement was, no one ever said, you know what, it's too hard to make a living, I don't want to live in Yerushalayim, I need to go to Tel Aviv, I need to go to another city to make a living. No, never have to say that. Everyone, no, Sali Hamako means, like, metaphorically, means that it's too tight, meaning it's too tight, financially too tight to live, Alin, to live in Yerushalayim. No one ever had to say that. And others say, no, that's not what it means. Maybe that's not the reality. V'yesfarim shakasa bahem, not she'olin, but kishe'olin. When I need to come to Yerushalayim to sleep. We're not talking about people living in Yerushalayim and saying that no one ever had to complain that I can't make a living in Yerushalayim and have to go live somewhere else. But rather, when I come, kishe'olin, when I have to stay overnight in Yerushalayim, meaning bal ha'olim, the regel ne'amar, when I come up to Yerushalayim to be ole regel, no one ever was so restrictive. They never had an issue where they didn't have a space to sleep Yerushalayim, to be comfortable, even though so many of the Jews were coming up Yerushalayim on the Shalosh Dragon. So that was the miracle. No one ever, even though it's just a certain amount of space, so similar to the Mikdash itself, where Omdim Tzufufim, we stood very tight together, Mishtachim Levrachim, yet when we bowed, we had plenty of space. The same thing was true when it came to the Siv Yerushalayim itself. When it came to be all over going, even though there were so many Jews there, there was always space for people to sleep overnight.